Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
We're taking several podcasts at the beginning of this season on anxiety to really dig deep into this problem of the anxiety that comes as a result of pride towards God. We're spending some time on this because it's a little known cause of anxiety and yet a very common cause. People don't see it, they don't recognize it, and so they don't do anything about it, but it causes so much trouble, especially in prayer. This is the kind of anxiety that will make it so that when you pray about whatever it is you're worked up about, your anxiety gets even worse. Have you ever had that happen? You pray, it gets worse. You're even more worked up after you prayed than before because of this underlying cause, this pride towards God. And so we're really trying to deal with this. We were talking about Psalm 37 yesterday's podcast. We stepped away from that just to take a quick look at the issue of submitting to human authority and how resisting that can cause anxiety, or failure to trust God to lead you through human authority can cause anxiety. So if you missed that, you might want to check with yesterday's podcast. Today we're getting back into Psalm 37. So just to refresh your memory, Psalm 37 tells us to calm down when we get worked up because of evil, calm down because of what God has promised. So he says in verse 1, "Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong, for like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Roll your way onto the Lord. Trust in him, and he'll do this. He'll make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when evil men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil, for evil men will be cut off. But those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace." Gentleness says when you hate evil, but your heart remains calm because you know how to be still before the Lord and wait for him to make things right. There's not turmoil and boiling in your heart because of your relationship with God, because of the type of interactions you have with God. You say, well, what kind of interactions? What does that look like? What sort of relationship with God keeps the heart calm like that? Look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Look at verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in him. It's a relationship in which he makes promises and you trust in them. And that's what keeps the heart calm and soft and supple and gentle and safe. I love verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. That word, that phrase, commit your way to him, literally it's roll upon the Lord your way. Just roll it onto him. You know, it's kind of like cast your cares on him because he cares for you, except some cares you can cast. Others are so heavy you can't even cast them. It's like you just have to kind of barely roll them off of you onto him. Now, sometimes people think, well, I've tried that. I've tried casting my cares on the Lord. I'm just as anxious as ever. It doesn't do anything. Why isn't it working? Usually, it isn't working. If it's not working, the reason it's not working is because you're not really entrusting it to God. You don't really trust him to take care of the thing in the best way. Something in your heart that says, all right, Lord, I'll entrust this to you. I trust you to do it in this particular way is the way I'm expecting you to do it. And I don't want you to be doing it in some other way. And we're afraid that what if he decides to take care of it in that way? That's unacceptable to my heart. And so you're supervising him. You say, okay, God, I'm entrusting this to you. And then you're looking over his shoulder and say, no, not that way, this way. And you're still supervising. As long as you're still supervising, you haven't entrusted anything. I mean, people, you ever had a supervisor, ever had a boss or somebody that does that? They give you a task, but they don't really give it to you. They don't really entrust it to you. They're micromanaging it. You know, the woman that says to her husband, oh, I've had it with this situation. I'm turning it over to you. You take care of it. You handle it. And the husband says, okay, I'll handle it. And then the next day she's like, well, did you talk to the guy yet? Did you call him? Have you made the phone call? When are you gonna take care of this? When are you gonna call? And she hasn't turned it over to him. She hasn't entrusted it to him. She just wants him to carry out her wishes. When you truly turn something over to someone, you roll it onto them, you're relaxed because you really do trust them. You really do trust them. And you're not looking over their shoulder. You're not supervising them. If I told, Josiah the very first time, hey, go put oil in the car, and he's never done it before, I might follow him out there and watch over his shoulder and make sure it doesn't go in the windshield fluid, or something. But I go to the mechanic, and I take my car to a professional mechanic, and I say, here, fix this. I'm not back there in the garage looking over and saying, hey, what do you, is that right? I'm not giving any advice. I'm not giving any counsel. I don't know what I'm doing. He knows what he's doing. He knows way better than me. I'm fully convinced that he can do a better job at it than I can do. And so I'm just relaxed. I'm sitting at home, not even thinking about it. And I trust him. That's the posture of the heart that genuinely entrusts something to God. I don't think I need to supervise you, God. However, I'm not anxious. I'm not worried. I don't care how you handle it, because I know the way that you decide to handle it will be the best way. Better than I could do, even. You're able to just relax and be at peace because you're so confident in God's goodness and his wisdom. It's not disposition or personality type. It's the gentleness of faith, of complete confidence in the things that God has promised. We can be still. We can afford to be still when all kinds of horrible, wicked, terrible things happen because we trust God to make things right. We understand that this situation is temporary, it'll be corrected soon, and so we can be calm and poised as we wait for him. Someone we don't like gets elected president. We don't have to get all fret and worry and wring our hands. The wicked are going to dry up and blow away like dust, and we're going to inherit the land someday. And we'll inherit the promises of God and enjoy them forever. Somebody accuses us, we don't have to get all worked up and defensive. God will make things right. He'll protect us. You're being sued. You're being charged. I mean, if you've been charged in the court of law with some horrendous crime, you might get real anxious, scramble around, try and hire a good lawyer and gather and make your defense and do all that, and you're just all energized and worked up. But if the judge tells you ahead of time, for sure, I'm going to rule in your favor, I've already decided. I'm going to rule in your favor. You don't have to sweat it. You don't need a lawyer. You don't have to worry about it. And while the world is scrambling to get ahead and grab everything they can grab, we can just relax. We're going to get it all anyway. Let them fight for it. They don't get to keep it. We do. Years ago, I pastored a church in Oklahoma. And several of the people in my church it was a rural area, and several of those people in the church were actually living in houses that their grandparents got in the land run, the Oklahoma land run, in 1889 or 1890 or whenever it was. I was fascinated by that. I just thought that was so cool. So I did a little bit of research about the land run. And I read about on the day of the run, everybody, you've probably seen that. Everybody's lined up on the starting line, and they fire the gun, and then everybody just tears off and tries to stake out a plot. And the ones with really fast horses, they got the best plots. And the ones with wagons got so-so plots. And the people on foot didn't get much at all. But actually, the ones on the fast horses weren't the ones that got the absolute best plots. You know who got the best plots? Leading up to that day, they actually had army troops guarding that whole region to prevent people from coming prematurely in and trying to stake out some land. But in spite of all that protection, some people managed to get in anyway. Ever wonder why the University of Oklahoma sports teams are called the Sooners? This seems like a strange mascot. Sooners? You know what a Sooner is? Believe it or not, that's the name they gave those dishonest people who snuck in and took the claims sooner than they were supposed to. That's what the Sooners are. They're a bunch of crooks. University of Oklahoma sports teams named after a bunch of criminals. Not to say anything against Oklahoma, but that's history. And I mention that because it's such a perfect illustration of that. This life, this whole life, is one giant land run. Isn't it? It's a land run. I mean, the gun has gone off and people are just, I mean, it's a cloud of dust. And the Sooners are getting the best spots. And the dishonest people. And the people, the really fast people and the strong people and the wealthy people, they're getting all the good stuff. And then there's us. What are we doing? We're just sitting there, starting line, gun goes off, they go rushing off. And we're just sitting there in our lawn chair, sipping tea, just relaxed, smiling. Why? Because the one in charge of this whole land run thing has already said, blessed are the gentle, because I'm going to give them all the land in the end. I'm just going to give it to them. Take it away from all those Sooners and all those people who claim it. Just give it to them. We don't have to participate in the mad grab in this life because all that they're going to try and grab is going to be taken away from them and given to us. All things are yours, the Lord said. Meek person is someone who is gentle now because when mistreatment happens, he just thinks two things. Number one, I trust God to someday make this right. And number two, in the meantime, I've got all I need. I got nearness to God. I got access to God. I can trust in Him. I can wait for Him because I got all I need. I don't have to scramble. Spurgeon said, it's wonderful what rough natures will yield before gentle natures. After all, it is not the strong who conquer, but the weak. There has been a long enmity, as you know, between the wolves and the sheep. And the sheep have never taken to fighting. Yet they have won the victory, and there are more sheep than wolves in the world today. In our own country, the wolves are all dead. But the sheep have multiplied by tens of thousands. The anvil stands still while the hammer beats upon it. But one anvil wears out many hammers. It's a great image. And gentleness and patience will ultimately win the day. At this present moment, who is the mightier? Caesar with his legions or Christ with his cross? We know who will be the victor. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that you are the victor. And that you are the anvil that enables us to be anvils and just be to be beat upon and absorb it and to remain meek. Because you're going to make things right. Oh, Lord, the turmoil that comes in our hearts. I know there are people in this room who probably have turmoil in their heart even now because they have been hurt so bad. They have been treated so horribly. And there's just burning anger inside. And that anger is destroying them. It's not doing them any good. It's not hurting the guilty person either. Lord, help us as a people to trust you to make things right. You'll do it better than we could anyway. Help us to just be calm, to be still, and to wait on you and to trust you.
Make a list on paper of some of the fireballs of hardship or mistreatment that have landed on your life lately. And then, for each one, write down what level of meekness was evident in your response on a scale from 1 to 10. Watch for a pattern of the types of mistreatment or suffering to which you have the hardest time responding with meekness. This might be another one where, just like yesterday, it'd be good to ask those closest to you if they see any areas where you lack gentleness in your responses. Secondly, pray over that list and talk to God about how you could trust Him more in those kinds of areas. And then number three, assess your prayer life. When you pray over some great anxiety, do you tend to roll it onto God's shoulders or do you assign it to Him to do what you want done and then look over His shoulder like a supervisor? And then number four, keep reviewing the verses in Matthew 6 each day and add verse 29 today.
Thank you for listening. We pray these principles from the Word of God are helping you find the peace of God as you draw nearer to the God of peace. Maybe there's someone in your network who would enjoy these podcasts. You never know how posting a link on Facebook might change someone's day or their whole life. Please remember to pray for this ministry, and remember that we're a crowd-funded ministry, so every gift helps. Just go to treasuringgod.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.